Shabbat shalom. Oh, something. Can you turn off the reverb? Always like Moses, I feel myself when it's happened. It's so good to see you and so good to be here. Beautiful weather and what most beautiful, the presence of the Lord in this place. Today I want to speak up. It's again. It's coming and going. You see, we're in the mountain. We can paint pictures here. So I want to speak today about and continue our themes from the previous Shabbat services. I want to speak continuation of this theme. And I will use today the new vocabulary for me. So if you will hear something funny, please feel free. You can be laughing and can be enjoying. So I want to speak about our identity as Messianic believers. And this is really important theme for me, for myself, because I consider myself as a Messianic believer. I does not consider myself as a Christian or Orthodox believer. I consider myself and look at my life and life of my family as a Messianic believers. And I believe this is very important and a foundational statement for my life and for my family. What makes us special and different from the rest of the Jewish world, religious world? What makes us special in the eyes of the Lord? It doesn't mean we are better, we're just special. And how? Which way we are special? And I want to read from today's Torah portion, it's from Exodus chapter 12. Please open with me and check my Oxford English language. Thank you. So from verse 5, and you know, when I want to speak about Messianic movement, probably this is one of the best chapter in the scriptures to speak about Messianic believers. One of the best, really best. This is the story of Exodus of the Jewish people from the land of Egypt to the Promised Land. And probably you read it or you heard this story already, but I just want to remind you, this is the turning point in the life of the Jewish people. Everything starts for them. They are going to the Promised Land. This is land that which given from the Lord to them. Very special moment, very important moment. And during this time, our nation, Israel, was shaped as the nation of Israel. The Lord wants to put something special in us. He wants to form us as a new nation, Jewish nation on the earth. So from verse 5, we read here about Passover lamb, about Pesach, Passover time. Your lamb is to be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You must watch over it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. They are to take the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the cross beam of the houses. Their way will eat it. Verse 13. The blood will be sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So there will be no plague among you to destroy you. Then I strike the land of Egypt. The idea about blood, about sacrificial blood for them. The idea about atonement. When I read it, I asked myself the question. Why it was so important to tell them, to show them atonement before they leave to the Promised Land? Why to not do it later? You know, when they already came to the Promised Land, no hurry, no Pharaoh, let them teach them. When I asked myself, I understood something very important for me. This was one of the most important parts of the Exodus. The blood of the Lamb. Atonement sacrifice for their sins. This was the Exodus. This is the starting point for the exodus of the Jewish people. Can you imagine? The plan of the Lord was not only let Jewish people out of Egypt. He can do it without plagues, without anything. He can turn away Egypt in 1 second. But he has the plan. He redeemed Jewish people. It was his plan. He set them apart for himself through the blood of the sacrifice. This was the lesson for them. They are entering the promised land as a new nation with the symbol of forgiveness through the sacrificial blood. So this is lesson from the beginning of scriptures, from the time of Adam and Eve, again and again, across all the Torah, all the Tanakh. The Lord show us about sacrifice, about forgiveness through the blood of the lamb, through the blood of sacrificial animal. And I want to show you first slide. I made it, not made it, I downloaded it from the internet. The picture of Passover and that time, this is the perfect picture of the future atonement of Yeshua. Because Yeshua, he is our Passover. His blood covered us and the Lord forgive our sins. And he does not kill us. He does not judge us anymore. And what's interesting, this is the picture for me, this story of Exodus from Egypt. And the idea of the death and resurrection, idea of resurrection when Jewish people came through the Red Sea and came out from the other side. This is idea, this is powerful ideas, picture for future generations, for the Jewish people and all the nations on the earth. And as a prophetic pictures also in the New Testament, we can see something. First of all, Pharaoh, he represents the Satan, our enemy. And we know, because Pharaoh kept our people, Jewish people, in the slavery, and he don't want to release people from this slavery. So he is the picture of our enemy, enemy of our souls. Egypt, this is the spoiled and sinful world, and this represents for me also, it represents for me worldly system. So the Lord wants to took us from worldly system out of slavery of the real enemy. You know, during the time of Yeshua, do you remember when it was the last evening with the Talmudim, when Peter says to Yeshua, he took the knife, sword, and he says, I will fight for you. Do you remember? Yeshua told him, don't take your sword. His fight was not with the people around him. His fight was with the spiritual Pharaoh, with the spiritual captivity, with the spiritual slavery. Our lamb, the lamb during the Passover time in the Egypt, it's picture of our Redeemer, our lamb. Do you remember when Yohanan the Immerser, he saw Yeshua, he says, he is the Lamb of God. He took all the sins upon himself. It was picture for him. He obviously understood this picture about the Lamb of God, sacrificial Lamb of God. And the promises land, land of promise, this is our heavenly home. And this is not idea of the New Testament. This is idea from the old and past days. Do you remember, I want to read Hebrews chapter 11. Not all, just one, verse 10, about Abraham. And he says, it says here, for he was waiting for the city that has foundations. Those architect and builder is God. Can you imagine? The Lord revealed to Abraham about future times, about coming of the new time, new city, new Jerusalem. And all his time, all his days, Abraham, he's wandering around the place looking for this new city. Who is architect is the Lord. Can you imagine? So it was, he was not looking for city on this earth. It was not his plan. He was wandering and waiting for the city from the Lord. And I want to read Revelation chapter 21, verse 21. Then I saw a new heaven and the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is what we're looking at as a messianic believers. This is what we're facing and what we're waiting for. Our travel in this world, this is the time of traveling and waiting for the kingdom of God to come to our life. And can you imagine the Abraham? All his life, it was the good news for the people around him. His fellowship with the Lord, his close fellowship with the creator of the heavens and the earth. He was the friend of God. So the Lord revealed him. So the heart of messianic faith, and please remember it, we believe in redemption through the blood of the Lamb. This is heart of the messianic faith. If somebody told that he's a messianic believer and he does not believe in Yeshua as a sacrificial lamb, come on, he's something else. Because messianic believers, we accept the sacrifice through the blood of Messiah, our Yeshua. So we believe with all our heart that Messiah has already came as the Redeemer and Savior, his name Yeshua. And we believe with all our heart he will come a second time as a judge and king over all the world. We believe in it. Also, we believe that he is not only great rabbi and prophet. I know that some people are okay with the Yeshua as a rabbi or as a prophet, you know, as a Messiah, like king, it's all. But we believe even more. We believe that he is Adonai. Let's say together, Adonai. Not only Messiah, but Adonai, the Lord. The Lord who came down from heaven to redeem sinful mankind. This was act of salvation. This was the act of redemption. This was the greatest act in our life. This was, we believe. And I want to read, I call it good news from prophets. This is obvious. You know, when I read it, some people can say this is you read from the New Testament, but I want to read it, and later I will tell from what place I read it. So, for to us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, my Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and shalom, there will not be end. Well, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom. I read it from the Jewish scriptures, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. Come on, Brita Hadasha. Can you imagine to name the child who was born? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, my Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. So the Lord came down to us to bring redemption to us. Also, second thing, what made us a messianic believers, second part for our life. First, we believe in the blood of Yeshua as a sacrificial blood, and we believe in him as Adonai of our lives, Savior of our lives. Also, what makes us messianic believers, we believe and we build our faith upon the scriptures. Let's say together, scriptures. And can we show a second? So we believe that Tanakh and Brita Hadasha came from the Lord. And nothing more. Nothing more. This is the divine scriptures for our life. And probably you know it already. Tanakh, it's acronym of the first Hebrew letter of each of the Masoretic text, three traditional subdivisions. Torah, teachings, Nevi'im, prophets, and Ketuvim, writings. And also we believe in the Brit Hadasha as a prophetic fulfillment of the scriptures. as the teaching of Messiah who came on this world, and he opened the Torah for us. He revealed the Torah and he revealed the Tanakh for us. And I can tell you, he is the best. He is the best rabbi. Amen. If you want to know what is the Lord wants to speak to us through the Moses, you need to read his words. Because he gave the Torah to Moses. It's first hands, you know, not second hands. He is the main rabbi. He is the main teacher. He is the chief of chiefs. He is the king of kings. When we read in the words of Yeshua, you read in the words of the Lord, exactly in your heart. Amen. Amen. So what makes us Messianic believers? It's not just different traditions and rituals from other groups. No. We Messianic believers because we believe in Messiah. And we build our faith upon the word of God. This is why we are Messianic believers. And I want to congratulate you if you're a Messianic believer. Congratulations. It's a wonderful place to be. To be a Messianic believer, you have the picture that Abraham so badly wants to see, and he did not see until his death. And now we have entering into the heavenly kingdom because of Yeshua HaMashiach, because of his blood, because of his death. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Can you imagine? Probably not imagine. You already have forgiveness of your sins. Please think about it. Just for a moment. If you have depression, just stop yourself and think for a moment. You are forgiven by the Lord. He don't blame you anymore. Because the blood of the Lamb cover your heart and he forgive your sins. If you remember, it's good to remember, but it's good to believe in him and his promises. Amen. I want to thank you so much, Grace. Thank you. I want to came back a little bit into history, and I want to dig in history, and I will do it very briefly because for 15 minutes you can't cover centuries and history. I just want to bring very interesting things because we are speaking about Messianic Judaism, and the previous weeks we spoke about the traditions and what is good, what is bad for us, how to discover and decide what is healthy for us, where to drink, where's the sources of living waters for us, where is the bad water, where not go, but where to go. So I want to go back in the history. In the days of Yeshua, were several religious political movements, and together they formed Sanhedrin. Okay. In Russian, Sanhedrin. So, and I want to speak about two main movements of the political movements and religious movements in Israel during the Yeshua's time. First of them, it was Sadducees, Tzadikim in Hebrew. Let's say Tzadikim. For me, it's hard to say Sadducees, so better to say Tzadikim because this was the Hebrew word, Tzadikim. And if you want to read about more about them, you can find the books of Josephus. He is the historical, and he is, I mean, it's powerful what he's written and his perspective, because he was living at that times in ancient Israel. So Tzadikim, they were an interesting group of people, and they were social and economic echelon of Judea society. So mostly they were priests and the Levites in the ancient Israel. Their role was to ministry in the temple, and they had the main, one of the main voice in the Sanhedrin. So they were powerful in that moment. All their beliefs were around the temple life. So sacrifices, temple, everything around the temple. So high priest was the part of Tzadikim. Levites also, many of the Levites were a part of Sadikim, so temple ministers. And second main party of in the movement of the ancient Israel, they were called Prushim, Pharisees. Let's say Prushim, Pharisees. It was the political party, social movement in Israel, and they had very interesting doctrines, different from the Sadikim, because they believed, and their beliefs were not based upon the temple ministry. They embraced the idea of synagogues around the world. And it's good ideas. I don't want to speak how many things, good things they did. So one of the idea, they were very involved in doctrinal questions and development of the traditions and commandments. If you heard about the idea to build wall around the walls, around the commandments. So this is the main idea of the Prushim. They are often seen redemption outside the temple. Some of the ideas, they speak about redemption outside the temple also. So what's happened after the temple destruction? First of all, temple system was completely destroyed, and Judaism faced the great question, what to do next? No animals, no temple, no blood, no forgiveness, no life, no future. Hope is died without it. And only Messianic Jews had the answers, because the Yeshua, the Messiah, is our answer. We know the answer. The Lord accepted the sacrifice of Yeshua, and because of it, he given the forgiveness through the Messiah. And if you will read it carefully, Revelation, you will find there that Yeshua, he is our temple. Yeshua, he is our temple. We don't need temple sacrifice anymore. Amen. You have forgiveness without temple sacrifice because of Yeshua. So the Sadducees or Tzadikim, the priests and Levites, they have lost their political and spiritual authority in Israel because all their theology was collapsed completely. Because they built up around the temple, and with the destruction of the temple, they lost the theology of their theology. And Pharisees' beliefs became the foundational liturgical and ritualic basis for rabbinical Judaism. Pharisees began to develop the form Prushim, the form doctrines and teaching in Yavna. You can find it in the literature. I don't want to go there. One of the main Pharisees, his name Yohanan ben Zakkai, he was appointed to be the main first patriarch. The Hebrew word Nasi also means prince, and Roman Empire helped him to do it. So he took this position. And he reestablished the Sanhedrin in Yavna under Pharisee control. So now I want to your attention. Maybe somebody says, okay, he's speaking about something, story, history. I don't want to listen it. But it's important for us to know as Messianic believers. He reestablished the main governor authority in Jewish world, Sanhedrin. Before it was in Jerusalem, it was contained with the different denominations inside of it. Sadikim, Yesei, Zealots, Prushim. Now only Pharisees, they established Sanhedrin without anyone else. It's understandable. So they're teaching. This is very important to know. So they begin to develop new doctrines and teachings. They begin to develop the teachings avoiding the temple and sacrifice, because no temple, no sacrifice, no blood anymore. Instead of temple sacrifice system, sacrificial system, the rabbis developed the replacement system of beliefs. I want to bring one example. According to tradition, Jewish tradition, if you read in the Siddur and you imagine yourself as you are standing in the temple and bringing the sacrifice, it's counting for you that you are bringing sacrifice in the temple. So if I stand here and imagine myself and praying with the faith that I'm in the temple, it means my prayers are sacrifices of animals. So this is one of the examples. It's many, plenty of them. So, and a few of them I want to bring here very briefly. It's much more, but I want to bring only two of these. First of all, one of the ideas and main goal, it was save Jewish identity without the temple. And this is very serious. Without temple, no, I want to repeat myself, no Jewish life, because everything around temple. And now they put goal before them to develop the new system, even without temple, to grow as a Jewish people, to protect the Jewishness of faith. And they did great job in this direction. So how they did it? So they begin to develop new commandments, new rules, new traditions, and also they begin to develop their secret knowledge. Let's say together, secret knowledge. The mysterious way of understanding of the Lord's ways. So it's too deep probably, but I just want to touch it. The Pharisees believed that in addition to the written Torah, there exists an oral Torah. Maybe you heard about it. Who heard about oral Torah? If you don't heard, praise the Lord. It's not important for you. The oral Torah, it's a very wise book. Many good things there. But I want to warn you. This is not the word of the Lord. This is wisdom of rabbis and Pharisees. This is not the word of the Lord. Consisting of the corpus of the oral laws, interpretations, and traditions transmitted by God to Moses orally, and then memorized and passed down by Moses and his successors over the generations. So they begin to develop the system of oral Torah. Something plus Torah. And they go even further. They begin to switch the places, oral Torah with the Torah. So this is the holy book for them. It was holy for them. So they developed the oral Torah, and also they developed the basis of Kabbalah. It was on the basis, it was developed much, much later, all these ideas. And second important foundation of their teaching, it was battle for the purity of the religion, of their religion views. So they begin to fight against heresies a lot. And the biggest threat for them was Messianic movement. Can you imagine? Because Messianic movement grew so fast. It was hundreds and thousands of Jewish people became to be Messianic believers. And this was the threat number one for them. So many of these teachings are against the Messianic beliefs, against the Messianic believers, against Yeshua. So this is why you should be careful with this literature, with these ideas. So think carefully. Orthodox theology was built on these two foundations. Much more, but these two include in this. So the Messianic Judaism is built on the foundation of faith in the Lord and personal relationship with Him. Let's say together, faith in the Lord, personal relationship with Him. So we can have personal relationship with the Lord, Almighty Lord, by the blood of Yeshua. The Orthodox Judaism built upon the observance of traditions and upon the sacred knowledge. And this is, for many people, this is kind of replacement of faith. Secret knowledge and obtaining of traditions. I want to read very briefly because I don't have a lot of time and I have 10 more pages. I'm joking. So let's read Joshua chapter 8. And this is the powerful place from the scriptures for all of us. Remember it, please. This is the weapon in our hands and powerful weapon. Verse 34. About Joshua. He speaks with the Jewish people, with his brothers and sisters, with his nation. Then afterward, he read all the words of the Torah, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the Torah. And verse 35, be careful here. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, including the woman, even woman there, and the little ones, and the outsiders walking among them. So can you help me to understand English? I don't understand quite here. What it means, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read. What it means? So it is the same with Russian, yes? And the same with Hebrew. Amen. No oral Torah. Everything that Lord commands to Moses, he gave to Joshua. And Joshua bring it to the Jewish people. Nothing hidden, nothing secret. The Lord revealed his will in the Torah for all mankind, for you and for me. Amen. This is very important to know. And I want to end with one of the interesting places of Scripture, Mark chapter 7, and from verse 7. And I just want to reveal one of the arguments with Yeshua and Pharisees, because Yeshua opposed the same idea. He opposed them in this. From verse 7. Now the Pharisees and some of the Torah scholars who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Yeshua. So they were walking around Yeshua. And they saw that some of his disciples were eating bread with unclean hands. Can you imagine how it's possible? The Lord of Lords and his Talmidim eating without special ritual. It's impossible. They were so amazed. They were so angry about it. That is not washed. For the Pharisees and all Jewish people do not eat unless they wash their hands up to the elbow, keeping the tradition of the elders. What kind of tradition? Elders. I don't see it's a tradition of the Torah. I see it's a tradition of the elders. And then they come from the marketplace. They do not eat unless they perform a ritual washing. There are many other traditions they have received and hold, such as the washing of cups, pitchers. I don't know what pitchers knows, but doesn't matter. Cooper vessels. The Pharisees and Torah scholars questioned Yeshua, why don't your disciples walk according to doesn't walk according to the tradition of the elders? Why do they eat bread with unwashed hands? Interesting, no? Situation between him and them, between them and him. And he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you, hypocrites, as it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So he faced with them about this. He told them, this is not the Torah. This is your ideas about the Torah. Having left behind the commandment of God, you hold on to the tradition of man. He was also telling them, you set aside the commandments of God in order that you may validate your own tradition. So, nothing bad in good traditions. But the problem was, they begin to switch their traditions with the traditions of Torah. It's good to have healthy and beautiful traditions from the Scriptures. But when it begins to be against the Torah, this is the bad situation. This is we need to be very careful with it. Let's read a little bit later, verse 9. He was also telling them, you set aside the commandments of God in order that you may validate your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, whatever you might have gained from me is korban, that is offering to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother. Mankind void the word of God, with your tradition, that you're handed down, and you do many such things. So what's happened there? They developed tradition. If I will help my father, it means I give in to the Lord. Can you imagine? So I can't not bring anymore my tithes and offerings, and I can give it to my family in the name of the Lord. So it's good, probably. I mean, all money in your family. So they developed traditions, but these traditions against the Lord's commandments. Bring your tithes. Bring your sacrifices. This is the commandment from the Lord. Don't develop other traditions instead of the commandments from the Lord. Amen. And I don't want to go deeply because it's really interesting of things, but I just want to conclude and the end with John chapter 3, verse 16. This is the great Exodus. This is the promise from the Lord, and this is the fulfillment of the great Exodus in our life. John chapter 3, verse 16. If you want to know the heart of Messianic Judaism, this is it. This is the heart. This is so simple. Nothing hidden from you. Nothing extra knowledgeable. This is it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not put his trust in the name of the one and only one Son of the Lord. Amen. I want to end with a small prayer, and I just want to encourage you. If you want to know the Lord, it's only way, only one way, through the Messiah Yeshua. And I want to tell you, before rabbinical Judaism, before oral Torah, it was the Messianic movement far, far more before. From the time of Adam and Eve, the Lord promised a Savior. He promised to Abraham. He promised to Moses. He gave prophetical words through the prophets. And now we live in the era of the Messiah, Messianic era, waiting for Messiah to come again. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for a wonderful opportunity to share the faith with each other. Thank you for a wonderful opportunity to be Messianic believers, to believe in the Messiah Yeshua, who came from the heaven to earth, who died for us, who rose from the death, and who is king, who rules over everything now. Thank you so much for the great gift in our life. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. So let's stand together. Let's end with prayer. Please don't be alone. We are the family. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yivarechecha Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panav elecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha veyasem lecha shalom. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.